Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Titan Clark, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Rhyme Alarm, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Bowen, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Yo, yo. Welcome, welcome. The Net Live. Monday morning, as usual, 10 a.m. This is where you want to be listening to this show. We are here on the Volleyball Network. 27th of September. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to the program once again. We are happy to be here. We are happy to have a show. I'm happy to be here, Kevin Barnett, your intrepid host. And everyone else is gone once again, so we've had to bring in our own version of Dan Le Batard. Brandon Rosenthal is back once again. Rosenthal!
Yes! I made it!
There, finally, some enthusiasm coming from Brandon Rosenthal. My goodness, not so droll all the time.
See, I didn't suck that bad last week, I guess. I mean, if you're having me back.
Did you go back and listen? Did you see what our fans had to say about you?
I actually had my five-year-old daughter break it down for me. We listened. You know, I got her an iPod a Touch, you know, four or five months ago, and we loaded it up, and I said, hey, don't take it easy on me. Give it to me straight.
That's what every five-year-old needs is an iPod Touch. My sons are killing me for an iPod Touch each. It's like $5 to outfit them both.
Come on.
Probably paying for two of everything. Just wait till your son Jake's a little bit older. You'll be all set, dude. You'll be all set. All right, let me give you a little preview of the show. We have a good show planned for you today. Lots of stuff going on in the world of volleyball. This has been an exciting week. We've got men's indoor, women's indoor, both national teams in action. The men at world championships. The women are tuning up for their world championships. They're down in Brazil. That's a matchup of world number one, Brazil, world number two, USA. Playing in some friendlies. We also have the Corona Wide Open. Went on this past weekend in Manhattan Beach, their final event of the year. We'll have some feedback about that. We have Matt Prosser, who was one of the runner-ups. He's going to be calling in to talk about that. And we also have more college volleyball happening. NCAAs is getting interesting. I'll tell you, parity, it's an exciting thing. AVCA College Volleyball Weekly is going to be coming up, and Dave Reed will be in here to give us some great information. And I'm sure Brandon Rosenthal, since he's the head coach at Lipscomb University, he's got some sort of opinion on what's going on in the world of NCAA college.
Always. Not afraid.
Yeah. Well, we'll have you offer your opinion on what's happening there. But let's check in with us first, because I have a busy weekend as normal. I've got two kids. And both of them are in two sports. One, they're both in soccer and football. So I need off the sports train because it's insane. You parents out there who have kids, don't ever put them both in two sports at the same time because it's absolutely nuts. Absolutely nuts.
You're like that picture of the minivan just basically just racing into the parking lot, screeching to a halt, dropping one kid off, throwing him his water bottle and say, hey, see you in 2 hours because I got to go take your brother
absolutely
to karate or something like that.
Absolutely. Divide and conquer for my wife and I. So I'm at the football game doing a little play-by-play, and she's at the soccer field watching Max play. So, yeah, lots of stuff, especially when there's two games. There's two soccer games on a weekend. There's two football games on a weekend for one of the kids. So this,
do you guys, like, text each other and give updates?
Yeah, we did, actually.
Like, hey. Max just picked his nose or something like that.
Actually, usually it's Max scores another goal. That's usually the call. Hey, we got Brian McDermott on our chat board here, Rosenthal, saying we play Lipscomb on Friday. He wants all the secrets. He wants to know what you guys are up to and how you're going to play. How many times
have you played? I love it.
Kelly.
Lipscomb versus Mercer. You know who's at Mercer. It's your friend, too.
Yeah, I do.
Noel Rook.
Rook,
formerly
now.
Noel Hagenberger.
Noel Hagenberger. She's known around the valley, Noel Hagenberger. She was a lot of fun. Went to junior college with her. She's a funny gal, and I've tried to have her work camps for us, but she's always bailed out on us. Not cool. Not cool at all when I was running kids' camps. So tell us about Lipscomb and the Domination Nation. Let's go, Buffaloes.
You know, it was a good week. You know, we had a tough week last week, but we got back on track. We took on Belmont, beat Belmont, our
yep.
crosstown rival. Not even crosstown. They're like 2 miles down the same road. Beat them in four, and then
that's like
took
UNC
on Austin.
It's basically the same matchup, UNC and Duke, Lipscomb and Belmont.
Yeah, it really is. But here's a little trivia note. We're actually the closest rivalry in collegiate sports.
Really?
How about that? Yeah, 2.2 miles. Literally, we are on the same street. Depending on what school you go out, you either turn right or you turn left. You go 2.2 miles, and you're there.
Nice.
It's a great rivalry.
Nice. Well, you dominated that. When you got there, Belmont owned you guys, as I recall.
They did. I think they're still up on us quite a bit, but we've won the last four or five now, and like to keep it that way. But we beat them in four, then went to Clarksville, Tennessee, to take on Austin Peay, but it's spelled P-E-A-Y, so we call it P-A. And beat them in three, gave them a little smack down there, and then we moved on to a Sunday match, which we rarely have.
Isn't that against school rules? I mean, this is a religious college. You can't play on Sunday, can you?
No. It's all good in the Bible Belt here.
Oh, it's okay? All right. Just
yeah, checking. Yeah, it's good. We cleared it with the big guy.
I didn't know you had a direct line. I guess that's
We do. We definitely do. Yeah, but we beat another conference kind of rival, Florida Gulf Coast, who we beat in the conference final last year. So we beat them in three, and then we just got word that our outside hitter, Megan Heinemeier, was named the Atlantic Sun Player of the Week, much to do with the fact that, yesterday she hit .533 with 17 kills, 30 attempts, 9 digs, and then against an Austin Peay match, she hit .422. So big week for her.
Nice. They should just start calling it the Lipscomb Award of the Week. Forget the
Stop. Stop. You're going to get me hated by all of our coaches now.
Hey, I know everybody out there is wondering how the flag football Eagles did. They went down again, 19-0. Once again, 19-0. We're good at giving up 19. I think 19 is the new 100. As soon as the team hits 19 against us, we're guaranteed not to score.
But at least you have your real Eagles. Michael Vick bringing them back.
Michael Vick is dominating. He looked like the old Michael Vick. When he took off running, he looked just like the old Michael Vick. And I'd like to see that. If we could get Michael Vick on my team, we have a quarterback. He is number 7. He can better.
What about the upcoming week here? Who do they got next week?
We have the Bulldogs, who are the number 1 team or the number 2 team in the league. So that's going to be a tough matchup. And then we have the Steelers, who are a rookie team. We should beat the heck out of them on Sunday. So it's a double matchup weekend. We've got Under the Lights on Friday. Cool, pretty cool stuff, because the Flag Football League does play on the high school field. Under the Lights on a Friday and Saturday night, occasionally, it is a blast. The kids really feel like they're playing big-time football, so pretty cool stuff.
Your boy's going to put eye black on?
My older son had it on yesterday, as a matter of fact. Their whole team did it.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. But I tell you, it was hot here. Our kids wilted because it hasn't been summer here all year long. So it's not like we've had a chance to work our way into adjusting and dealing with 90-plus degree heat. All of a sudden, yesterday, it's 90-plus degrees. I think actually it started on Saturday. Super-duper warm, and today, again, going to be middle 90s here, going to be about 115 if you're inland or in the valley. That's a little bit brutal. It's kind of like Tennessee weather.
Muggy. You love that word.
Yeah, it's a good word, muggy.
Maybe you guys should start holding mini camps, get these kids in shape, ready to go for the season.
Listen, there are teams, we do practice for a month because you have to have that kind of level of organization, but there are teams that practice 2-3 times a week for this league. And you know what? At 6 and 7, I'm just not committed to do that. I'm sorry, we're not going to practice that much. It's just not going to happen. This is not, by winning youth sports, winning the D4 Super Bowl is not the end-all be-all of sports, but don't tell that to half the league. They're way into it. We did see Tim Walmer, for a little volleyball reference. Tim Walmer's son was playing in that league, and Bob Samuelson's son's playing in that league over Manhattan Beach. So a couple of big-time ex-volleyball players, much like myself. Although, I just an ex. I don't know about big-time.
Yeah, I was going to say, big time might be pushing it.
Samuelson's got a medal. Walmer's got some championships. So I don't know what I have. I've got some overseas championships, but it's not. I've got the Austrian Cup. I actually have it here in the house.
Well, you're number one in my heart.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why, see, that's why you get on the show, Brandon. Jay, you got to treat me better like this. Hosack, you know, Hoptic, pardon me, Jay Hoptic. You got to treat me better like this. Then you come on the show. You're going to replace Brandon.
Once again, you've messed up his name. I've been on the show twice now, and both weeks you've messed up his name.
I just can't remember. It's not spelled like that. It should be H-A-S-I-C instead of H-O-S-A-C-K. It's not right. Hey, let's talk about the men's team. The men's national
team. Say that again.
Let's talk about the men's national team. Men's national team in action. World championships began this past week in Italy. The United States facing off against Mexico to start it all off. And they went down. They were struggling on early and then had to come back. So the United States went down early, 25-22, 25-19. To Mexico, of all people, and now mind you, the United States has dominated Mexico for years and years, came back to win set 3, 25-18, then 25-22, and 15-11 to take their first victory, 3-2, for the opening of World Championships. And one of my favorite quotes, this may be one of my favorite quotes of all time, if you look on the USA Volleyball website about halfway down, there's a quote from head coach Alan Knipe. At the end of the paragraph, this is Alan Knipe, how it's quoted on the USA Volleyball website. Says, in the third set, our team increased the level of play, and with the help of Stanley, we were able to win. Clay Stanley, the opposite. We never underestimated the Mexico. We had great respect for them. I love it.
That means you're even more big time. It's like Donald Trump. You know, the people stopped calling him, you know, Donald Trump. They just called him the Donald. So when it's like a level of respect.
The Mexico.
So when a team beats you, you have to call them the and put the country here.
I think Mexico would have won to get the Mexico. They have to win a Norseca championship. They can't just be the Mexico right off the bat. And don't confuse the Mexico with Ron Mexico, who is playing quarterback for the Eagles.
Yes, and has a big big game this week against the Redskins.
So the United States went on, defeated the Mexico 3-2, and then their second match, they faced off against the Venezuelan Hugo Chavez's. They faced off against the Chavez's and stuck it to them 3-0. So take that, put that in your oil-rich nation's eyeball, 3-0, they over Venezuela.
Well, what, I mean, what's your thoughts? I mean, going 5 with Mexico, I mean, as you mentioned before, I mean, we've pretty much dominated this, but is that a red flag to you?
It'd be a red flag if you then went 3-2 with Venezuela, or you lost to Venezuela. Then you look back and say that Mexico match was indicative of what's happening. I think the Mexico match is more indicative of the fact the United States went 10 weeks without playing any competition against them but themselves. I think that's more what that shows. I mean, you have a younger team, too. They're playing in their first world championships for a lot of these guys, and they come out on the floor. Everyone's a little amped up because you haven't played in a long time, and it's the world championships, and it's exciting. And I think that they finally settled down a little bit. So the 3-0 over Venezuela tells me that the team settled down after match number one.
Well, I know last week we were talking about the lineups and things like that. What about, you know, who played well? I know Sean Rooney put on a pretty good performance.
Yeah, Rooney's been playing some nice volleyball, which is good to see. I've been waiting for Rooney for years to pick up and play well. Clay Stanley played pretty well, had a nice match against Mexico with 4 blocks, 3 aces, which is good. They need that serving from Clay. He's a guy who can go back at any moment and rip off 3, 6, 10. I mean, if somebody's going to hit 10 aces, it's going to be Clay. For those of you that saw him play in the semifinal of the Olympics against Russia, he put on an absolute serving clinic against Russia. So Clay Stanley played well. As mentioned, Sean Rooney played well. Russell Holmes in the middle played well. He is really on his way up. He's been putting in some very workmanlike performances, played very well against Russia in World League, and nice to see him getting the start here. In World Championships, he's a guy who's worked his way into that roster. And, of course, with the absence of Ryan Millar, a lot more falls to Holmes and Holt. Max Holt, another young player, another exciting young player, big, strong dude. So we'll see what happens with those guys. But those two guys playing very well. And then Reed Pretty. I think Reed Pretty in the second match against Venezuela didn't have great numbers from the net. They were okay. They just weren't what you would expect from Reed Pretty. But if you look at his passing numbers, they were terrific. He's like 70% perfect, something above that. Really good numbers, making the offense go. Also contributed from the service line. And he had an okay hitting performance. So it's good to see Reed after a little bit of health issues. getting back in there and playing well. So I'm encouraged to see what happens.
That's just a common mistake, though, in volleyball, is to look at the stat line. And, you know, while the stats are important, you know, some of the stuff that's not in the stats are even more important. I think you hit upon that, you know, as far as passing and really, you know, the offense being based around, you know, what Reed does. So, you know, I think it's easy to look at those stats, and especially in volleyball, more than any other sport, really. That's the first thing we look at, and it doesn't necessarily tell the whole story.
No, we've talked about Riley Salmon on this show. Same thing. You look at his hitting stats and go, well, what's he doing? Well, he's doing all these other things. He's making it go for a lot of other players. And that's important, especially when you're an older player, you're a captain, you're a guy like Reed Pretty, who everyone looks to. When the hitting's not going great, when you're not getting that kind of rah-rah applause and you're not the man for side out or the man for point scoring, right? You have to find another way to make it work for everyone else. And Reed Pretty is a guy who does that, and that's why he's valued so highly all over the world. I love BJ Evans here on the chat board. She says, at least someone's reading my press releases, but you could have just emailed me that it said The Mexico. BJ, it's much more fun just to quote The Mexico. Come on now. We're not going to let that one go by.
I mean, The Mexico can turn into something big here. So, I mean, we're actually helping that, you know, along. I mean, it could be one of those things where we're driving traffic.
To The Mexico? I like Mexico. I go to Puerto Vallarta every year. It's a great. I love The Mexico. It's a wonderful place to be. As long as you're not in Juarez or something right along the border getting gunned down. Hey, if you want to follow the action of World Championships, I think one of the great new ways to do it is the FIVB app for the iPhone. They put it out a couple of weeks ago. I've tested it. It's got a great little roll of all their headlines and stuff and what's going on. It is free, so it's the right price for all you guys out there. But check it out, because then you can just flip on that app and you can know exactly what's happening in World Championships, not only with the United States, but with all the other teams. And you can follow the tournament in a little more in-depth way than you could before. Certainly you had to get on the computer and kind of go through their site. There's a lot of different things going on the FIVB site. This just gives you the news roll. It's pretty good. I like it. Check it out. They're over there at FIVB.com, or you can go over to iTunes and search for FIVB and get their app from iTunes. I think it's a pretty good thing. Let's talk about women's national team. They're down in Brazil. They're also in action and playing a friendly now. They have a 10-day tour down there. They're going to face Brazil. I think it's five times. BJ, you can put the number up there for me, but I think it's five times. They've played two matches so far. They've gone five in both matches, and it's been good. I think that they've been edged both nights in five by Brazil, but I see a lot of different players playing. Ogun Nemani putting up a lot of time. You had Megan Hodge, who's led the United States in kills both nights. Had a lot of talk on the show about Hodge. Her numbers from the last match, she's 15 kills, four errors, three blocks on 33 attempts. So not a bad night from the net. But then you look at her reception, 22% perfect. Not too good. Not too good at all.
And let me tell you something about Megan Hodge. You know, I've been watching her since, you know, she was at Triangle in North Carolina and club volleyball, and then obviously through Penn State and things like that. When you first watch her, she's one of those types of players that's just not overly impressive as far as just wow. But let me tell you, this is somebody that continues to get the job done at every level. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to see, because I think people's initial, you know, reaction to her is, you know, didn't just overly impress me.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it's hard to, you know, it's really hard to complain about, you know, look what she's done at the club, at the collegiate, and now at the international level.
Well, she hasn't done anything at the international level, in my opinion, yet. Now, we talked to Hugh McCutcheon about that. He says there's no question she's going to contribute internationally. She's going to make an impact here. And I said, that's where my question lies, is when will she make an impact? I don't know that that's really true. My thing, when I look at her, I look at her mechanics, and her mechanics concern me. I don't think she has the mechanics to put a ton of heat on the ball all the time, especially in bad situations, from a high ball situation or if the set's not perfect. That's the thing that I wonder about. Now, whether those mechanics get better or she gets stronger over time here as she continues to learn under Hugh McCutcheon's system, that remains to be seen. I think it's possible, given her success, given the things you just talked about. I think it's possible. She could be great, because she has been great. but I think it's still up to her to prove it. Now, putting up numbers in a friendly match is great. Putting up numbers in a Grand Prix or putting up numbers in a World Championships, that's something to point at.
So you're saying the verdict's still out on her? I mean, at least in your book.
Because
you're worried about her mechanics.
Yeah, until she gets it done in matches that matter. I don't think she's not going to get the cred that everyone else wants to give her already in my book. Look, if you go there and get it done, I will absolutely give you the credit. If you go and you show up to the World Championships, you lead your team in kills, or you're second in kills, you're hitting 400, whatever it is, 300, great. You know, that I will give you credit for. If I see you at the beginning of World Cup or at the beginning of Grand Prix and you can't pass and you're hitting high roll shots over the block and you can't put the ball away and every time it's in transition you can't get any heat on the ball, then I have some concern. And that's what I saw in year number one, in match number, weekend number one of Grand Prix. We'll have to see. I'm not saying she's not going to make an impact. I'm saying I have my concern. Hugh McCutcheon knows more about it than me. He says she's going to make an impact. I'll wait and see. I'll preserve my judgment. See what happens.
All right. I mean, it's just, you're starting to sound like, you know, those guys that are, you know, judging quarterbacks going into the NFL and talking about, Brett Favre, he does his mechanics and all this and that. And I mean, at some point, you know, winning is important. She's done it on every level, and I think that she'll do it again at the international level.
Hey, that's why we have this show, because nobody talks about volleyball in that way. It's exactly why we have this show. And we now have somebody on the line who knows a little bit something about the men's team, I think. And he used to be involved with this program, for those of you who listened a long time ago. When Reed Pretty allegedly is on the line from Italy. How long is that?
What's up, Kevin?
What, are you in a busy restaurant or something?
Just outside the arena. We just pulled up. A lot of action, a lot of activity. I'm just happy to be on the Kevin Barnett Show right now.
That's what I'm talking about. It's Kevin Barnett Live. Well, hey, Reed, give us the rundown. We were just talking about your 3-2 victory over Mexico and the 3-0 rubbing of the Chavez. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we came out a little bit slow on the first night, and you know, Mexico played the best we've ever seen them play. Ivan Contreras, some other guys in that team, you know, have played in our college system and have played very well. And so I think it took us it was a good scare for us. And last night we got off to a great start. You know, I think we're deep. The one thing that's been constant is Clay. Clay's been real good, real consistent, bailing us out of trouble lots of times. And I think we're really looking to just build as a team match to match.
Ivan Contreras, he's about 47 years old by this point, isn't he?
A lot of cage. Hey, you know what's interesting about tonight's match that I have to say is if you remember Hugo Conte for Argentina, one of the best outside hitters of all time with the
yeah.
most cage of anybody out there. I mean, the guy could set kills and block out. Well, his son is on the team and is one of their stars wearing the same number. So it's kind of cool to see the next generation for Argentina. But it's going to be a tough match. I'm going to tell you that right now.
So USA-Argentina coming up. You mentioned Hugo Conte. Those of you that watched international volleyball 10 years ago will remember seeing him at like 37 years old, couldn't jump, had no arm, but would get kills all over the place. But the best thing about him is he looked like the mute from Superman. Had this huge beard and this finely coiffed hair. He didn't really say much. Does the son look like the mute also?
No, he's actually seemed a little bit taller, a little thinner, and it seems like, of course, I only saw Hugo at the tail end of his career in person. But, you know, this guy's just starting out and looks like he's a good talent for them. He's going to be around for a long time.
Very good. USA-Argentina this evening in the final matchup of the first pool, correct?
That's right. Yeah, Argentina, they're going to be a handful. They've got a really good coach. If you remember Weber, who was their setter for about 20 years, is their coach.
Sure.
And they also have DiCecco. Which is a very athletic setter now. So they got a good coach, a good setter, and a go-to guy. Anytime that you put that together, you just need some filler players, and you've got a chance to win. So we're super focused and want to come out with a lot of energy.
Hey, we were just talking about the play of Russell Holmes in the middle. It seems like he's off to a really good start and continuing to build on that World League performance.
We definitely need more production out of the middle, and I include the outside hitters as a part of the middle of the court coming out of the pick. And so it's great to see more balls go to Max, go to Dave, go to Russell, and we definitely want more of that tonight.
Yeah, we were talking about your stats, and I had looked at the data volley stats. It looked like you didn't have a great hitting match. Not horrible, but not a great hitting match or the last match. But your passing was absolutely stellar, and that's certainly important if you're going to get the ball into those guys in the middle.
Yeah, you know, it's my first match. Actually, first time playing an entire day, 3 weeks since that last scrimmage. If you remember, I kind of tweaked my rib.
Yeah.
Going on a few nights of no sleep. And so first day back, and felt good to be back with the team. And, you know, stats, you know how stats are. A lot of those zeros are, some of them were good swings that got dug. Some of them were just kind of keeping the ball in. Definitely made two more errors and got blocked twice, you know, four times total, more than I want to. So I'll try to improve on that today and just try to find some rhythm with the guys.
Yeah, I always looked at my own stats, and I don't think I've ever actually rolled a ball to just try and keep it in read. I think I blasted every set I ever got.
Well, hey, that's the difference between you and me, and that's why you have your own radio show. So I got to get in the locker room. But it's great to connect with you guys, and we'll talk to you in the next few days.
All right, tear it up. Good luck, Reed.
Hey, check it out. FromSport.com apparently has been live streaming these matches, so check it out. And if that's the wrong link, let us know on Facebook. We'll see you guys.
All right, I'll play some music so you can start talking your way out. All right, Reed Pretty, ladies and gentlemen, checking in right from Italy, from the locker room, on his way into the locker room there in Italy to get Argentina. Yeah,
classic. The beginning of that conversation started out like an episode of Lost, you know, kind of that broken communication. And then you followed it up nicely with a backhanded compliment. I love it.
You know, I got to give Reed a little bit of grief. I mean, here the guy is still on the national team. He's dominating. He's got a gold medal. He's making tons of money in Russia. I got to do something just to bring him down to earth a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure he appreciates it, you know, on his own show. I know he's never actually been on the show, but on his own show, comes on and gets nothing but grief.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm sure he's going to play well tonight because of you.
Yeah, it'll be all about me. If you want to see it, the link is up there on the chat board, www.fromsport.com. It says it starts at noon Pacific today. If you guys want to check it out right after this program, get yourself a sandwich, come on back and check out the match live from Italy. And USA-Argentina should be a good one. I think the United States is going to clobber them. Argentina did not play very well in World League. They did play well in the finals. They went took Cuba 5, and I think they took Italy 5. They did a good job there. Certainly dangerous if you let them. But the United States, if they play their game, I would expect a quick United States win. And that's hopefully the case, because I get to cheer for my own team on my own program. That's just how it works.
Sure. So you're probably suggesting everybody get like a 6-inch sub instead of a foot long, since it's going to be a pretty quick match then, huh?
We need a Subway Club like promo here. Yeah, you definitely. I'd go foot long though, because I'll jam it down inside of 45 minutes, no problem.
You could be on with Michael Phelps and Strahan for that matter. How does Strahan get on that?
I don't know. How does Strahan get on anything? He's on all kinds of stuff. With that huge gap in his teeth. I don't know. Strahan's pretty good on football, but I've seen him. I've seen him around town here. He hangs out.
Yeah, but he hasn't played in like a couple of years, and he's doing Subway commercials.
Well, it's because he's an otherworldly entity. Everybody knows who Strahan is. You know, it's not like volleyball players who just go away. It's like if they're not in the stat sheet every week, then you never remember their name.
He's pumping jalapeno peppers on his tuna sandwich. I mean, I just don't get it.
Hey, a couple of notes here. Kerry Walsh of beach volleyball fame. You can't say AVP champion professional. You can say gold medalist. Kerry Walsh, multiple-time gold medalist, has joined the USA Volleyball Board as the player representative from the beach, from the beach athletes. I think that's an exciting thing. I think that's a good thing. Kerry's been very vocal over the last couple of years in her desires for changes in the way that USA Volleyball and the beach relate to one another, and now she has put herself in the seat to observe those changes and perhaps guide some of the changes and guide that new relationship. So Kerry Walsh joining the USA Volleyball Board as the player's representative. I think that's an important thing. Also, to get the other half of the partnership, Misty, I get a note this week. Misty May Trainer, I get a note this week that says, I should join the Facebook group Get Misty Back on DWTS. And I had to think about what DWTS was to start out. Dancing with
the Stars, brother.
Yeah, so everybody wants to get her back on Dancing with the Stars. Is that a good idea? Should Misty go back on Dancing with the Stars?
Absolutely. I mean, think about the storyline. I mean, she goes on. She's on for, what, one episode and hurts the knee? It's like she could win the Dancing with the Star comeback award.
She blew her Achilles. She did not hurt her knee.
Okay. I knew it was something serious.
Yeah, very serious. So, yeah.
Would you ever go on Dancing with the Stars?
Heck yeah. I'd be terrible, but I'd go on. And certainly if they invite her back, there's no way she should turn that down. I mean, that's star power outside of just the sport. That's an opportunity to make a name for yourself some other way, and they pay you to do it, and it looks like a darn good time. I think she should definitely do it.
You know, I watch every reality show, but for whatever reason, I've never gotten into that and happened to watch it the other night. It was really entertaining, mostly because The Hoff was on, David Hasselhoff.
Oh, my God.
And the guy's amazing.
How?
Ageless.
How? Ageless.
Ageless.
Yeah? That's because he just wears the same clothes. That's why he's ageless. He's still got on the tight leather coat from 1983. That's why he's ageless.
Michael Knight.
Yeah, exactly.
He did, like the promo, the little introduction, he talked into his watch like he was talking to Kit again. And that just, it just made me smile.
Dude,
I mean,
it
took me back.
People make fun of him for it and say he's a one-trick pony. The man is a god in Germany, and he should ride that Michael Knight for all it's worth for the rest of his life. Do it, do it, do it. Exploit it. Hey,
you know what I love about him?
347-677-1525. If you want to get in here and give us an opinion on anything, give us a call. We'll put you on the air. 347-677-1525. What do you love about it?
He only buttons two buttons on his shirt. I mean, anytime you can get away with that and pull it off like Magnum used to do,
yeah.
You know, it's – I think that's – first, I got to change my name to a one name, you know, kind of thing. Magnum. Hoff.
The Brandon will work because he's the Hoff.
The Brandon.
You're the Brandon.
And then
or the
Brand.
You could just be the Brand.
And then I can let my sweater out and let it flow.
Okay, this is the After Hours, the Net Live After Hours show. Hey, we got a caller, 719. You're on the air. Welcome to the Net Live. Who are you? Where are you calling from? 719.
Oh, hey. I wasn't ready quite for you guys, so this is Dave Recone.
I wondered if you were hanging in here just watching the show. We're going to have you on later for College Volleyball Weekly, about 1045, right?
Yeah, so I'm always listening in.
All right. I just want to make sure you're there. All right.
Yeah, I didn't want to miss 2 weeks in a row. I'd feel bad.
All right. Well, we'll be talking to you in just a couple minutes, Dave. Hang on.
Sounds good.
I love it. This is, you know what, Brandon, this is the deal. If you're the representative for the College Volleyball Weekly, we talk to you early and then tell you to wait.
Yeah, like last week with Misty or with Holly McPeak.
With Holly McPeak, exactly. We have to tell you to wait.
I love that. It's kind of like, hey, not really sure you're going to actually do what we've asked you to do, so we're going to really sound foolish and just ask you twice.
Well, if we've got really bad, you know, technology here, that's just the way it goes. Hey, we want to take a quick break. You're listening to Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We appreciate you tuning in. Get in on the chat board. If you go to thevolleyballnetwork.com, you can hit the chat function, and you can be in there. Lots of good, funny conversations going on in there that have nothing to do with our program whatsoever. So hang in there. The Net Live, thanks for being here. About the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League, having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dad?
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, "Sweet pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever."
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
To mute myself in that last program. You're listening to Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. Myself, Kevin Barnett, along with Brandon Rosenthal. Whoa! Whoa!
Holly,
hang on a second. Sheesh.
It wasn't me.
We've got all kinds of technical errors going on today. Reed, it's a good thing he's at the match because he'd be angry about hearing all this stuff happening. Doesn't like it when we have technical problems. We need a producer. Anyone wants to come in and produce every morning here in the home court in Redondo Beach, let me know. You can come in here and run the computer, and I can just sit here and talk, because I'm really better at that. All right, welcome back in. Had some good discussion already about the men's national team, the women's national team. We heard from Reed Pretty, who is live on his way into the locker room for his matchup against Argentina. United States taking on Argentina in the final match of the first round of World Championships there in Italy. And we are looking forward to hearing from Jason Olive. He's an actor, a volleyball player, and now got quite a few different business ventures. He's been involved with Volleyball Magazine, and he's got an exciting event coming up soon, the J.O. Foundation event. It's going to be happening in Long Beach, so we'll talk to him. We've got talk about the Corona Wide Open coming up, and we have the College Volleyball Weekly that we're going to be talking to Dave Reed about everything that's gone on in the world of college volleyball, because it's been another exciting week. Good stuff here on the Net Live. And we got Brandon Rosenthal. We should mention that his Buffaloes have been doing very well. Actually, it's the Bisons, right?
It is the Bisons, and that's plural.
The Bisons?
Yeah. It's the school has decided to go with the plural pronunciation, and a lot of people like give us flack for that. It's pretty funny.
Well, I don't know what the difference is. Why does it matter exactly?
Well, it's kind of like deer. Deer, there is no plural for deer. It's just deer.
It's just bison? Group of bison. I guess that's true, huh? The lady bisons. The lady bison sounds better than the lady bison.
Yeah, I agree. Because we're like a group of them.
Yeah, but a group of them would be called bison. It's a herd of bison, not a herd of bisons.
That's correct.
Yeah, this
it's really confusing.
Yeah.
No, hey, nobody cares.
If you want to call in here, if you want to win some Mikasa stuff, we've been trying to give away Mikasa stuff. I have a list of about five things. I'll even let you choose which one you want. 347-677-1525. We've got some very easy want-to-give-it-to-you trivia that you can answer. 347-677-1525, and you can win some great stuff from Mikasa. It can be at your house by the end of this week. So call in right now. Brandon Rosenthal, I have a question for you. I want to know the answer.
Fire away.
All right. What would happen for big-time volleyball programs if athletes started getting paid? There's a couple proposals out there for athletes to start getting paid in men's basketball and men's football. Interested to know what your thoughts are if teams like Penn State, for instance, started paying their players some amount, whether it's nominal or a little bit higher, for their performance.
I think it would hurt college volleyball. I think it would hurt it pretty drastically as well. You know, just because some of the smaller schools, it literally would just be lost you know, the revenue that comes in with big time football and big time basketball is just is overwhelming. And you know, even going into the season, we already know, as speaking for a smaller school, we already know we're not on a quote unquote equal playing field. That would just drive that wedge even more.
So you think it's going to be a problem that that little bit of payment, whatever it is going to get those athletes to be able to stockpile at those universities, and you're not going to be able to offer the same payment, so it's just a bigger advantage, similar to having more scholarships.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it from the standpoint of, you know, hey, you know, even if you're the 12th or 13th or 14th player, you know, on down the list as far as scholarships go. Now, in Division I volleyball, you're allowed 12 scholarships. But think about that. You can go to a big-time school, get a scholarship, and get paid. You know, whereas a smaller school, you might not be able to offer that.
Okay. What if the NCAA did it as a blanket policy and all of a sudden everyone was getting paid? How would you feel about that? Everyone's
where are we gonna get the money from?
Well, there's an $11 billion TV contract out there that the NCAA signed.
Right. But you have to remember the revenue sharing is based on a lot of, you know, has a lot to do with the BCS and, you know, the schools that make up the BCS. It doesn't necessarily include all the schools. I mean, for instance, we don't even have a football team. So
I understand that. I'm not really working on what's actually true. I'm just saying as a pie in the sky kind of random proposal, if players were getting paid, would it at all change the landscape for college athletics, for women's volleyball? Let's assume everyone in women's volleyball Division I was getting paid the same in the top 100. And so you have the top 100 teams more than make up the tournament every year. Would that change the competitive nature of it, or would that change anything if you're giving students a stipend of a couple hundred bucks a month on top of their scholarship?
That's a great point. And I think, you know, a lot has been brought up about how much these schools are reaping the benefits from these, you know, from these student athletes. And, you know, I don't know if I have a clear answer for you there, and I apologize for that.
Well, I'm just sort of applying it to volleyball because volleyball is not a revenue sport except for in a couple places. If you look at Nebraska or you look at Hawaii, I have to believe that they're making money at those venues, maybe a BYU on the men's side, something like that. There are a few that can do it. But what I'm wondering, what continues to frustrate me about the NCAA is the money and the contracts and the stuff that you hear about college football, college basketball. Those guys should be paid, in particular football players. I mean, many of them putting not only their career on the line, but in many cases their health for the rest of their life on the line. And it should be done for more than the scholarship money, in my opinion, at this point. Because the value of what they do is way beyond the value of a scholarship now. It didn't used to be. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it wasn't. Today, the value of the work that they do, obviously $11 billion is a heck of a lot of money. The value of what they do is far higher than just the value of an education. The amateurism myth, in my opinion, needs to go away. And it does bring up some interesting questions of other big-time sports with high participation numbers, particularly on the women's side when you start talking about volleyball and women's basketball.
Yeah. I think it's just one of those things where things could get real messy real quick. And I think what I'm referring to a little bit more than just the NCAA giving money is all of a sudden that opens the doors for, you know, boosters and things like that that, you know, we already have problems with. You know, you see it in the news just, you know, just now in the football season that they've got going on. So I think when you do that, it's not so much the payment is Pandora's box that you're about to open.
Yeah, I can see that, and there's been that argument, but I think that box has already been opened. I think when you see the Reggie Bush case, you see some of the other things, I think that Pandora's box is open, and you're going to have to deal with it. And burying your head in the sand and pretending it doesn't exist is foolish, and I think doesn't recognize the true state of affairs for the world today. Anyway, moving on. Got to go on here to the College Volleyball Weekly. In conjunction with the ABCA, the Net Live is proud to present each week the College Volleyball Weekly, an update to what's been happening in the world of NCAA volleyball. And we just like to play the USC fight song. We're going to have to edit the Lipscomb fight song in there for you, Rosenthal. Do you have a Bison's fight song?
I think we can come up with something, yeah, for sure. It's just a thundering herd.
You have one or you don't. You can't just make something up, you and a trombone in your garage. I mean, come on. All right, hey, we're joined here as part of the College Volleyball Weekly by our good friend Dave Reed from Colorado College and ESPN.com. Dave, welcome back.
How are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm great. Thanks for hanging in there. Boy, it's hotter than blazes here in the home court. My goodness, I think it's pushing 95. If I faint halfway through, you know what? Just remember, the equipment is still working. You guys are now the hosts.
Sounds good to us. Brandon, you up for that?
I'm game for anything.
Well, Dave, it was an exciting week in the world of college volleyball. Illinois took down Penn State in 5. Oregon beat Washington. USC beat UCLA. Lots of really interesting matchups going on out there. What caught your eye?
Well, you know, I think the key to this weekend is the parity that you saw in all the matches across the board. There were upsets in the top 25. There were non-ranked teams beating ranked teams. And you had, I think, 8 matches involving top 25 teams that went to 5 sets. So
wow.
Even if the teams got away with a victory, they were still pushed to the limit.
Wow. Well, tell us about a couple of those. I mean, obviously, Illinois beating Penn State, I think that's got to be the biggest one. It's not necessarily an upset with an unranked team, but Illinois, a good team, but has had its struggles. And Penn State, been a little up and down at the top, but such high expectations for Penn State. Going 5 had to be a great match.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think the key to that match was you getting Laura DeBruyler back in the lineup for Illinois, who just missed 5 matches with a bout with mono. She went down to Texas the week that Illinois beat Texas and Florida A&M, and that second match against Florida A&M, they kind of knew something wasn't right, and she goes home, gets tested, and has to take 5 matches off, and they lost 2 of those. They lost at Nebraska, which, you know, you can't really say that was a bad loss, but then they lost to Cincinnati last weekend, and that one they'd probably like to have back, but,
yeah.
You know, Laura gets back in the lineup. She gets 2 of the last 3 points on kills in the 5th set, and lo and behold, you've got Illinois knocking off Penn State to stop their 65-match Big Ten winning streak.
Well, all kinds of winning streaks ending for Penn State, 109, 65, it's all over. We talked about this last week a little bit. Does that take the pressure off Penn State? Does that make it easier to play now that the streaks aren't alive?
Yeah, I think it really does because, you know, this is not the same team that ran up those gaudy numbers. You know, this is, you have Blair Brown and Ariel Wilson back, but, you know, the rest of that team's new. They're trying to find themselves a little bit. And don't be surprised at the end of the year if they're not back in, you know, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, you know, with a chance to win a 4th straight national championship. So they've got the big streak still going.
So it's a chance to win it. It's not really the domination, the expectation to win it that years past have had.
That's absolutely right. You know, they're going to be in the mix. You know, there's still 4 or 5 teams that are kind of a cut above right now. And, you know, you've got to look at Stanford as the favorite. Florida's playing incredibly well. You know, Illinois has played really well. You know, USC's, you know, right there too. So it's going to be interesting to see once the Pac-10 season gets cranked up and the top-ranked teams start playing each other.
It seems like SC is a team that's surprising. That everyone knew they were going to be good, but maybe not as good as they have been early on in the year.
Yeah, you know, they went out to Hawaii and got that big win early. And, you know, you're kind of waiting to see, you know, what's going to go on there. I'm really excited to see the Pac-10 season get going because, you know, this weekend on Friday, USC is going to go up to Washington, and we're going to find a little bit more out about the Huskies. I wasn't really surprised that they struggled at Oregon this weekend just because they hadn't played a top-ranked team this year.
Yeah, it's early in the season, and certainly the conference schedules will offer us a window into a lot of different teams. And you mentioned some of the other upsets that were out there this weekend. What else caught your eye?
Well, you know, Minnesota lost to Michigan, and they're playing without Lauren Gibbemeyer right now, who, you know, an All-American middle blocker, and you know, it might be a good time for teams to get up on Minnesota, but I think if she gets back into the lineup, they're going to be tough to beat, especially at home. You know, Tennessee lost, you know, on the road to Georgia, and Georgia hasn't really made a significant win this year up till that point. Then you've got San Diego lost to Cal State Fullerton. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now. It just shows you that there are good teams out there that really aren't on the national radar right now.
Yeah, Dave, Fullerton's one of those programs every year. It seems like they come up with a huge win, and I think it's, you know, just happens to be, you know, San Diego this year, but I know in years past they've beat some other top 25 teams as well.
Yeah, last year they got UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I don't want to talk that bad about Fullerton, but, you know, it just goes to show you that there's so much talent now spread across the country that we have so many players that have come up through the club system now, you know, and the Penn States, you know, the Floridas, they don't have room for all these players, so they got to go somewhere.
Well, yeah, we were talking earlier, Brandon and I were talking about Middle Tennessee State, and we're going to have head coach Matt Peck here on the program later to talk about his team, but he's a team that he went with his group. He won the Division II national championship a few years ago before he went to Middle Tennessee State. And now there, this year, they defeated Long Beach State. They defeated BYU. They were in the Elite Eight in 2007. Here's a school that you don't necessarily think of as a powerhouse, but obviously can play at the level of some of the top talent in the United States.
There's no question. You know, and they're always good for at least one victory in the NCAA tournament. I think they got Louisville 2 years in a row, and Louisville was – you know, on either in the national rankings or right on the edge of it. And, you know, Matt's got a great team. He's got a great program. And, you know, you don't ever underestimate that team.
Dave, what else you bring us this week? What else is hot?
Boy, I'll tell you what. You mentioned Penn State, and they really took out their frustrations on Wisconsin, you know, the night after losing to Illinois. And just gives you an idea how good they can be when everything's clicking. Texas is the team that I'm really looking at this week, and you know, they had a good win at Missouri, and they kind of got the ship back on track a little bit. Julian Fawcett had 22 kills, and they hit 293 as a team at Missouri, and Missouri's been playing well, so that was kind of a good win for them. And now this week they've got Iowa State at home on Wednesday night, then they go to Nebraska on Saturday, so you might start to see those top three teams, Nebraska, Iowa State, and Texas, you know, drift back to the top of the Big 12 standings. And you know, Iowa State, Texas might start to challenge Nebraska just a little bit.
Well, Nebraska would be a fun matchup. I'd love to be in the gym for that one, for the Texas-Nebraska match.
Yeah. And then Saturday night, I mean, you have great matches. Michigan going to Penn State, Oregon at Stanford. And that'll be good. And I already mentioned UCLA at Washington. So, you know, there's good stuff this week. In the middle of the week, you have Illinois at Wisconsin, Iowa State at Texas, and then Kentucky at Tennessee. So those will all be good matches on Wednesday night.
Yeah, just coming from this area, you know, that Kentucky-Tennessee match is something that I think a lot of people in this region really want to see. You know, last year Kentucky was poised to win their first SEC championship, and Tennessee took them out. And so I think there's definitely a little bad blood between those two teams.
Yeah, you know what? And it doesn't matter what sport it is when those two teams play. You know, they just want to take each other out anyway. And, you know, one of them's got to get it together to challenge Florida in the SEC East. You know, in the SEC West, it looks like LSU is going to be at the top. But, you know, there's a lot more parity now in the LSU side, or excuse me, in the SEC side, too. Auburn's playing well, and they could pose a threat to LSU.
Dave, does the presence of a 64-team tournament at the end of the year make it more or less exciting, some of the conference matchups that go on throughout the season?
You know what, I think they're exciting all year round because, you know, even the schools that know they're not playing for the national championship, you know, during the regular season, that's their time to make a statement and maybe start getting a little bit of national attention. You know, if some of the conferences that, you know, you don't really get a lot of respect to, you know, the Missouri Valley Conference plays great volleyball in front of big crowds every night. The West Coast Conference is really good, and, you know, they kind of fly under the radar of the Pac-10. And, you know, there's just so much good volleyball out there that, you know, the neat thing is they get better all year long, and then when they get to the tournament, then they're kind of ready, and, you know, that's when you see an upset or two in the first round.
Yeah, the tournament, of course, is sort of a rebirth opportunity for a lot of these teams to, yeah, you didn't have a good season, but you happen to make the tournament, or you didn't have a great season. You happen to make the tournament, and now you have a fresh start and an opportunity to knock off some people.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing that most of the conferences are doing now, they're getting away from those postseason tournaments. You know, there's still some out there, but the majority now are playing, you know, at least, you know, a partial double round robin where you really earn the conference bid to get into the postseason. And that makes every match during the rest of the year important because you've got to be, you know, toward the top of your conference, even the West Coast Conference, you know, who's very good with San Diego, St. Mary's, Santa Clara. You know, they're lucky to get two teams in most years, so you've got to be good.
I don't know if I like that. If you take away the opportunity for sort of a Cinderella story, if you have a sixth seed or an eighth seed who can come up and win that conference championship, get hot at the right moment. I mean, you saw it last year with the MAC championship that I did. It just why take that away? Because you want to have your best representative there. I would think the hot team, if they've earned it, they get to go.
Well, you know, I defer to Brandon on this one, but I think a lot of the coaches think that, you know, the real champion is determined over the course of the season. So what do you think about that, Brandon?
You know, I think there's two schools of thought. I mean, I think when you get into it, just like in basketball, you know, the chances of getting two schools in for some conferences is really tough. And when you talk to those coaches, obviously they want their, you know, their best team representing their conference. But I think, you know, some of the fun of the tournament and some of the magic of the tournament is kind of along with what Kevin has said. You know, you get a team that, you know, might get hot, you know, at the right time. And to be honest with you, you know, the first time we went to the tournament, we were the fourth seed in our conference tournament. And, you know, we struggled a little bit early on in the conference season, but put it all together at the end and, you know, ran through the conference tournament. And, you know, I thought had a nice season that way. So I think, especially for some of these smaller conferences, I do think it's important to have those conference tournaments.
Yeah, because I don't think it allows for teams to get really good over the course of a season. And anyone who's played knows that there are times as an individual and as a team group that all of a sudden your level raises because you're working, and all of a sudden within a couple of days or a week or two matches, you can take a huge jump in the level you're playing at and sustain that new high. And I don't think it rewards those teams that work during the season, teach during the season, get better during the season, and all of a sudden reach a new high, and maybe they're already halfway through their conference schedule. So if you give them a bad seed or you don't allow them a truly unencumbered opportunity to win the tournament and win that bid, you may not have your really best team or the best team at the end of the season arriving in the NCAA tournament to represent your conference.
Yeah, you might have had a team that had a significant injury early in the season and the player comes back, you know, and then really lifts that team to a new level. You know, and the other thing it does, too, and this is the reason that I think the conference tournaments are good, it gives everybody the opportunity to play in that championship atmosphere because, you know, only 64 teams
yeah.
get to do it at the NCAA level.
Well, you look at a team like Illinois with DeBruyler just back. Imagine if that had happened right at the beginning of the conference schedule and she misses five conference matches. That's a situation where you could have a team that should be better than they are according to their conference record. You know, you never know how things are going to go.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, hopefully the best teams will end up in the NCAA tournament and we'll have, you know, an exciting time. But, boy, there's a lot of volleyball to be played between now and then.
There certainly is, and we'll keep you updated on it here. Dave, we appreciate you joining us once again and keeping me informed. Forget the listeners. Just keep me informed on what's happening.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys. Brandon, best of luck this year. Hopefully maybe we'll get to talk to you about a story later on.
I'd love to have that opportunity.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, Dave Reed from ESPN.com. Thanks very much. There it is, the College Volleyball Weekly, presented to you each week, courtesy of the American Volleyball Coaches Association and the Net Live. And of course,
you get hammered on the message board for playing that song.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not playing a different song. Someone send me an MP4 file. Someone sends me an MP4 file, I'll be happy to play it. It's really no problem. No problem at all.
I like the suggestion of playing the number one team playing their song. I think that would be great.
Oh, that is a good idea. That is. I do like that. And yeah, the question was no AC on the home court. Yeah, no AC here. That's for sure. VME Mike, we don't need it most of the year. It's only been in the mid-60s. That's why this middle 90s is a problem, because it's been so cold for this entire year.
You know what I'm pushing for next week?
What?
The AVCA announcing the top 25 in that segment.
That would be awesome. We'll talk to Will about that. We'll send Will a note over there at the AVCA.
I keep refreshing my computer to see if it's up yet, and it's still not there yet, but I think we should do it then.
All right. I like that idea. I like this show debuting it. We hope you tune in each week to hear about that. I hope, even if you're not a huge fan of NCAA or weren't, I hope you're getting into it a little bit here. We've had great information from Dave Reed and from Holly McPeak each week on what's happening, not only what's happened, but what's coming up. A couple of exciting matchups. I'd like to see that. You have Illinois-Michigan, Michigan-Penn State. There's going to be some really good stuff. Iowa State-Nebraska, both facing off against Texas. It's going to be a really, really exciting week. And I want to get you out there and watching some of this stuff. That's why we couldn't get Holly. She's going to be doing some TV for some of that, so she couldn't be here.
She's all right. Big time.
This is the Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We have a lot of stuff going on. We also wanted to bring into the program, this is a man who played volleyball at Hawaii and moved on, had an acting career, saw him on TV a few times, a little bit of modeling stuff going on, and now is involved in quite a few different businesses, including the J.O. Foundation. Welcome back to the program. You've heard him before as he's called in. Jason Olive, welcome to the Net Live. Thanks for being here.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jason, you have your 8th annual J.O. Foundation event coming up in Long Beach, California. That's going to be, October 2nd, correct?
Yeah, it'll be October 2nd in the Rainbow Lagoon there in Long Beach.
Well, tell us about, you have this J.O. Foundation. Before we get to this particular event, what was the reason for founding the J.O. Foundation?
Yeah, the dream of the foundation goes back to basically playing in college. You know, one of the advantages of playing at Hawaii was that you are the professional sports there. So, we're always required to do a lot of outreach into the community and things like that, and seeing the difference that made, not only in the lives of the kids, but the difference for our program, you know, and fans and all that kind of stuff. When those days were done and looking at the tour and whatnot, there was just really nothing like that. You know, no one was really creating anything like this. So, I just took it upon myself and had support of some players to go out and create the foundation, really with the goal of creating this vehicle for pro players to give back to the community. And then create programs for children around the sport of volleyball in mostly reaching in the areas where kids either aren't exposed or can't really afford to play volleyball. And, it's like when we say can't afford to play volleyball, it's free, to play volleyball. But at the same time, I think we all know that these days, unless you're involved in a club program, that dream of playing at the college level is at best greatly diminished. So what we've been doing the last few years is giving kids scholarships to play club volleyball, as well as each year we bring attention to some cause that has to do either with health of children. We focus on autism a number of years, or the environment.
So what's the focus this year for the event? Then, besides giving the scholarships to kids, what cause are you putting behind the 8th Annual J.O. Invitational?
Yeah, this one we're linking up with a foundation called the Yemanja Foundation and their project called Adopt a Shark. And what they are, they're the largest apex predator protection group in the world with focus on protecting sharks. Over 10,000 sharks are killed a day right now. And, when you remove an apex predator from the natural environment, the chain effect of that is absolutely disastrous. So, if we lose the sharks, we basically lose our entire marine ecosystem.
Well, I see some very fun names here on the list. There's all kinds of celebrities and volleyball players. I see Brooke Billings, Kerry Wallace, Jason Ring, Casey Patterson, Eric Fanoimoana, Dane Blanton, a lot of people that folks in the volleyball world will recognize. And then on the other side, I see David Arquette, Amber Valletta. You're listed as a celebrity. You're listed as an actor, not as a volleyball player. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, that's probably a testament to what my game looks like these days.
But John Heater, so you have Napoleon Dynamite out there, Dennis Rodman.
We've had a pretty crazy selection of celebs out there, and the fun part is that we pretty much demand that all of them play. You know, they were like, if you're just coming and showing up and showing face and grabbing a gift bag, yeah, let's have someone else come out, you know. Because that's what really, really, you know, makes our event fun. And to their credit, the celebs do a great job, and they really enjoy the event because they are not the stars of this event. The pros are the stars of this event. And so for them, just getting a chance to be out there with some of the world's best players, you know, it's a lot of fun for them. It's a great opportunity.
Can you
Jason, Brandon Rosenthal here, and hearing the name Dennis Rodman on a volleyball court just sparks excitement to me. Favorite player in the NBA. I mean, what's he like on the court?
You know, we actually had met during an ADP charity event many years ago and then met again during a basketball charity event. He's pretty quiet. I mean, I think what you learn with Rodman is that this is a guy that understands the entertainment value of sports, you know, and so who he is off the court and who he is on the court, you know, I mean, you know, that's his stage, and, you know, when he's playing for the Bulls, the world was his stage, and he acted accordingly, and, you know, but who he is when you're hanging out at a charity event or something like that is totally different. Except for the nose ring, the tattoos, and the dress, he's a pretty normal guy.
I love that Chris McGee is on here with all those other big names, and I wonder if you can set me up with an introduction to Rene Russo.
Oh, God, I would love to do that, but I think her husband would be a little upset.
Yeah, because I'm better looking, that's why.
Yeah, and you know what, and McGee, it's 100% show having McGee on there. I got to take him off there because he has not shown up to one yet. He promises to be every year. As a matter of fact, he promised me he was going to be out there next weekend emceeing. We need to get him off of there. I've been paying that forward for 8 years now.
That's kind of like this show. He says he's going to come next Monday, and then he's got some other excuse he's not going to be here. Well, hey, Jason, we wish you the best of luck with that event on the October 2nd at the Long Beach Rainbow. Is it Rainbow Cove? Yes?
Yeah, it's the Rainbow Lagoon, and if anybody wants to register to play, it's open to the public. Just sign on to the easiest one to remember is volleyforacause.org. So www.volleyforacause.org. People can register to play on a team online. Sponsors can register. It's all done online. So we invite everybody out next weekend. We're going to have four live rock bands. We're going to have full bars, catering. Miss California USA actually has decided to come out with us, and they're going to have a whole group of their girls. I think 130 right now have signed up to come support the event. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Awesome. We look forward to hearing more about that after it goes off. And I know we want to talk about your involvement with Volleyball Magazine. Jason, we're running a little bit late. We're going to have to do that on another time. We'll have you back on the show again.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you guys about what we're doing with the magazine and making some big moves and changes. I look forward to that.
Terrific. Jason Olive, thank you for joining us once again here on The Net Live.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Jason Olive, actor,
volleyball player. That guy's the man.
He's done a lot of different stuff. His experience is diverse, and really credit to him for getting outside of just the volleyball mold that he was known for during his career.
I love how you told an actual, like, real-life model that you were better looking than somebody else. Come on, dude. You're talking to a model. I mean, the guy's been in magazines.
Yeah, he's way bigger time than me. What are you going to do? All I have is a show, man. We've talked about that already. Hey, I wanted to get to another gentleman we have in the queue here. We have Matt Prosser, who yesterday finished second at the Corona Wide Open Tour. We've talked to Matt before after his AVP victory, the now-defunct AVP. But, Matt, we appreciate you taking the time to tune in here and give us your kind of view on what happened with the Corona Wide Open this past weekend. Matt, are you there?
Reed's not going to be happy.
No, this whole show, Reed's really going to be upset. Matt's got his hand up. I don't know if we're on hold. Matt Prosser, are you present?
If Reed's still listening,
yeah,
it's not my fault.
No, he's not. He's focused on his event. He's focusing. Well, we'll give you a little information. We hope Matt comes back on. But the Corona Wide Open happened in Manhattan Beach this past week. It was Rosenthal and Wachtfogel once again taking down the win over Matt Prosser and some Canadian guy whose name we shall not name. He's just some Canadian guy. 15-12 defeated him in the final, a single set final, which I thought was interesting. On the women's side, Diana Denikashe and Brittany Hoshavar won the women's 15-6 and took down. I can't imagine that was a terribly exciting final with that going on. But let's try this once again. Matt Prosser, are you present?
Yes, Kevin.
There we go. Sorry,
hey,
for a little while.
Back.
We appreciate you calling in. So, Matt, yesterday you had a good tournament. You ended up finishing second, going down to Rosenthal-Wachfogel in the final, 15-12 in the final. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, you know, the final, it was a real close game all the way through. Aaron and Sean played good volleyball. Hit their serves really well, sided out, obviously, every time. Got a couple of key blocks late in the game and a beneficial double set hand set call on my partner from B. Lee, the up ref, to give them match point. But other than that, I think it was a pretty exciting final. I think everyone around the court clearly was having a good time.
This is old school rules. It's big court, no antennas, and they're calling the hand setting pretty tight. I don't like the call to send it to match point. That seems like an odd time to call someone's hands unless it was really, really bad.
Well, it was exactly the same set that my partner had made several times prior to that point that Aaron and Sean were upset that Dealey hadn't made the call. So they were yelling at him several times beforehand. So the opportunity came for Dealey to make a call when he did after being lobbied into the call, and it just happened to be at match point. And everyone knows that Dealey likes to be involved as much as possible in volleyball outcomes, and unfortunately we kind of got stung by that.
It's never good when you have a referee that wants to assert himself in the match. I think referees need to stay out of it.
I completely agree with that statement.
So tell us about the event in general, the vibe of the event. This was the U.S. Open. This was the championship event. Each team that had won an event prior to this all across the United States received airfare and accommodations to compete in the Manhattan Beach event. Is this the future of beach volleyball? Does this really have legs for coming back in the void that the AVP has left?
I think the model and the idea might have some validity and some legs. However, the execution of it and the final product, I think, is has a long, long way to go before it gets picked up by any sort of corporate sponsors or people that really want to be involved in beach volleyball. If they would have seen kind of what the scene was during the final, I really have a hard time seeing anybody wanting to jump on board with that kind of an atmosphere.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, during the final, there were just people and players very close to the court that were clearly intoxicated, causing a ruckus. A good way to compare it would be that it was an animal house of beach volleyball finals. People throwing sofa cushions at the referee several times, a guy with an umbrella walking onto the court that didn't feel necessary to get off the playing surface immediately, people on the stage, the commentators that were basically kind of encouraging the party scene and the after party and not really encouraging the high level of volleyball that was being played in front of everybody. And the U.S. Open, this tournament has the title of U.S. Open. Well, that's a national event. I mean, that's a pretty good title to earn and have. And the finalized product was just somewhat chaos and hostile and not very safe feeling as a volleyball player to be in a situation like that. It was weird. And hostile is just a really good way to say it.
This sounds like something out of the six-man mold.
This was worse than a six-man, in my opinion. The six-man, compared to this year's six-man, this U.S. Open final was much, much worse, I thought, in professionalism, in just beach volleyball. This was not a classic big court side out scoring beach volleyball event in the terms of fan participation or respect for the game even. It was it left a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth, not because of the volleyball that I lost. You know, I'm okay losing to Sean and Aaron. It was good volleyball. It was a close match. But the environment itself, it was just not what it should have been for the product that they were trying to put out.
So if you're looking to put out a professional beach volleyball tour, I know that the focus of the Corona Wide Open is taking it back to the old school. They're all about that image. If you look at their promos on VersusTV.com, you go over there and check it out. The promo, you know, looks cool. There's chicks and dudes and guys kick-serving sky balls, and they're playing Muse in the background and talking about how it's so much better than the new school stuff, and the new scoring system's a joke, and you don't have to be a good athlete to win. And there's lots of stuff like that. Does that thing fly in today's world? I mean, is it a good event as a spectator to be at if there's all that mayhem?
The mayhem was really only centered around the final. The rest of the tournament, they had a good crowd there on Saturday. They had a lot of people watching, a lot of good quality volleyball, long games, and side-out scoring.
Yeah.
Like I said, the idea and the model is good, but the execution was just way off. And I'm really curious to see how it's going to be portrayed on the televised tape delay on Versus, because they're going to edit, obviously, a lot of stuff into the time frame that they have to show it. But it's just going to be really interesting to see how they show it on television, because if you were there in person, it was hard. It was a hard place to kind of be in to watch volleyball. I didn't hear anyone tell me that they enjoyed watching the game that were there in person.
Interesting. Well, Matt, we wish you the best of luck going forward to next season. What are your plans for playing with the AVP not being around? Are you going to participate in Corona Wide Open again?
You know, I'm not sure. I got to wait and see kind of how everything unfolds, obviously. I'm not going to say I won't participate. I just would hope to see that the people that are in charge of that tour and the people that have their name attached to it are able to have a better finalized product than what they had yesterday. So, well, and I wish them the best of luck. I think they have a good idea there.
We're going to talk to Billy Berger, the owner of Corona Wide, or the operator of Corona Wide Open, this next week. And, of course, Karch Kirai, the man with his name attached to that tour in every which way. So we'll definitely have a conversation with Karch at some point about that tour and its direction that it's going to be taking. So we'll have more information for that for the listeners next week. And, Matt, we hope you turn in to listen to that. Maybe you'll learn a little bit about what his feelings were about what went down on tournament day.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that also.
All right, great. Thank you, Matt Prosser. Thanks for joining.
All right, Kevin, thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Sure.
All right, Matt Prosser, professional beach player, runner-up at the Manhattan Beach Tournament this past weekend. Hey, let's bring in, just as we're on the subject of the tournament, let's bring in another old friend, a guy who used to be on this show before he got a J-O-B and started paying his bills, Dan Madden. Welcome back to the Net Live.
Am I on?
You are on. You are on in your office.
Right.
Do you have an office now, or do you have a cubicle? I mean, what are they giving you over there? Just a computer in the corner?
I'm in an office, but I'm sharing it with two dudes, one of which is Lindsay Breeden, who you know. Lindsay's been on the show a bunch of times.
Yeah, Lindsay doesn't have his own office? He just brought you in to hang out with him? I mean...
Well,
but an animal.
I don't think he wants his own office, because we hang out and we like sing songs and watch YouTube videos and just kind of all around lollygag.
That sounds like Animal House to me. Is anyone smashing a guitar or shouting?
It's the Corona like Wide Open equivalent. You know, being in an office, yeah.
Okay.
I liked when they talked about a guy with an umbrella walking into the middle of the court and not leaving.
Yeah, and
that was a highly ranked player. I won't name him, but that was a highly ranked player who was quite intoxicated, among other people. But yeah.
Okay, so the city of Manhattan Beach spends a lot of time fighting the sixth man and the intoxication there, but then hosts the Corona Wide Open Tour and apparently had more intoxication than the sixth man this year from the readings that I've heard from people who were there.
No, I mean, like, well, first of all, There were fewer people, I think, fewer spectators than at the Manhattan Open this year.
Okay.
It was a much nicer looking event, and it looked pretty cool. They had a ton of cameras from Versus. I was surprised that there weren't as many people as I expected. But you know, last year there was like nobody, so this thing is growing for sure. I kind of I see what Pross is saying. I understand from the vantage point of being a player who no one was cheering for. Not because no one likes Prosser, but because everyone was rooting for Rosie and Aaron. And honestly, Prosser's partner is really weird. really good, but really weird. Some guy, Josh from Canada. But
Josh,
yeah,
from Canada.
Josh from Canada. Yeah, I've never seen him play. Out of nowhere, makes the finals. Anyway, so like. Hostile actually is a pretty good word if you're Matt Prosser describing what you went through in that final, because everyone's booing and cheering against you and cheering for Aaron, and Aaron and Rosie are kind of screaming and yelling. They themselves may have been a shellback for part of the day. As far as the party, like, yeah, I found it odd that Prosser, who's like king of six man, didn't like it when it didn't like the party atmosphere when it wasn't six man. You know, I kind of dug it. It was kind of weird. You know, he kind of described it as hostile and weird, and I think it was both. But I think they got something going here where, you know, everyone's close to the core and kind of screaming and yelling, hooting and hollering,
yeah.
You know, a little inebriated. I think there's something there. You know, it's not too distant from, you know, extreme sports and what's going on with that kind of stuff. And where we fall used to be in the 70s and 80s, you know, like the 90s for sure, they cleaned it up.
It seems to me,
you know,
Dan, it seems to me that while this may be one model that works a little bit, it's going to be a great hobby for people, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be a profession. The Corona Wide Open Tour doesn't seem like it can expand to that.
Here's the deal. I've heard from a couple sources, you know, and I don't know how valid this is,
uh-huh.
but Corona's going to have more money next year, considerably,
yep.
amount more. And there's going to be some new announcements, some big announcements for the future of beach volleyball. And I'm not going to
cool.
say anything about it because I'm not sure if I believe any of it. I think I believe the Corona stuff, but as far as, like, what's next for beach volleyball, I don't really know. Karch had an article in the Daily Breeze this week, which is a local newspaper, said, you know, he would be kind of cool. He'd be down with volleyball in the United States doing, like, a clay court season and grass court, whatever, you know, just changing up the rules, which is, you know, the big court and short court, doing both, which is interesting. And quite frankly, Matt Prosser is awesome on the big court. Like, he's split blocking, but when he blocks, he's more effective of a blocker than Sean Scott was. Sean Scott, I mean, granted, Sean Scott hasn't been playing big court, and Prosser's played,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
one or two. But you would think down 15-7 or 15-9, the score was, he beat down Lucena and Sean Scott. Now, Nick Lucena kind of gave up at the end of the match in the loser's final against Rosie and Aaron. So maybe they didn't care so much, but, you know, I ran into Nick and Furbringer earlier this week, and Nick was fired up and wanted to play because
okay.
of the money, and Furbringer was kind of the opposite, and he's kind of the from the Kerry Walsh camp, which I think is a perfectly valid argument, which is, you know, you don't play if there's not the money in there because you're devaluing yourself. And
you're devaluing.
And
you're saying you can get us for $5,000 versus getting us for $10,000. Well, I think
yeah.
it's interesting, and we'll have to see what happens with it. I hope that Corona expands. I hope somebody expands into that space, and it'd be good for beach volleyball.
I have no problem with what went down. It did turn a little bit sour and a little bit crazy, maybe a little bit too crazy during the final.
It's just too hot.
It didn't really help that. But
it was a full moon and too hot. That's the bottom line. Full moon, too hot. Blame it on that.
Yeah.
Hey, my favorite quote, we asked you, our listeners out there, on our Facebook page, go ahead and be a fan if you haven't been yet on Facebook, The Net Live on Facebook, click be a fan. We asked questions throughout the week. We asked, the Corona Wide Open is coming up, do you care? My favorite response was from Scott Vanderwerp. He said, everyone bring their VHS cameras because they are going as old as those rules. Let's all get on the same page and move this great sport forward. So obviously Scott doesn't like the old school rules, but I hope he had his shoulder-mounted VHS camcorder out there this past
Beta cam.
Beta cam. Dan Madden, thanks for checking in and giving us the straight poop on what happened down there. We'll talk
all
to you
one more quote. I got to finish this with a quote from Billy Allen via Instant Messenger this morning.
You always
volleyball,
have to mention Billy Allen. Yes.
Yeah. It's my guy. Volleyball without beach volleyball is like sandwich without ice cream sandwich. There you go.
Really, really. So we're the
Billy
boring
Allen.
Sandwich, the indoor guys. Thanks a lot, Dan. Back to work. Slave
Billy
away.
Allen, not me.
Give him 10 more
have
projects.
A good day, guys.
All right, see ya. Dan Madden checking in once again. I don't know. Dan, you know, Dan could talk about beach volleyball all day long. It'd just be a whole separate show. I don't really care what how Lucena felt when he was at the supermarket back on Thursday. Oh, man. I definitely want to see you. Vanderwerp, good job. VHS camera. Love that. All right. Hey, I think we have our other guest here in the queue. We've been running a little bit late, Brandon Rosenthal.
Man, we're just rolling through this, aren't we?
It's a 6:15, dude. We have to punch this out because I know you have a meeting to get to. I've got things to do, and heck, the men's match starts at noon. It's going to be on television, or on television as it counts these days, on the internet. So if you want to check out the men's match, get out there and check it out. It's going to be, let's see, BJ, put it up again on the chat board for everybody who missed it before because you can't go back that far. And can't remember what the website was, but it will be on, live on the internet. You can check it out. And I think that Corona Wide Open is going to be on Versus. Check out VersusTV.com and see what time you're going to be able to get a view of that event if you're interested. So, Brandon, take us forward.
We've got our next guest coming up is Matt Peck, head coach at MTSU, Middle Tennessee State University, just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Matt is a just great coach and has done it on a couple different levels here. In 2003, won a national championship at University of North Alabama, Division II school, and has been at MTSU. He's in his seventh season and has been pretty far into the tournament. So, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. I did want to remind you of one thing, though. Nashville is a suburb of Murfreesboro, just for further information. Just kidding, of course. Thanks, Brandon, very much. Thanks for the intro.
See, there you go. Even the guests are giving me a hard time.
You got all kinds of rivalries going on down there. You got Belmont to deal with, Middle Tennessee State to deal with. I don't know how you manage it, Rosenthal.
Well, you know, it's hard taking over a city, you know. But listen, Matt, we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your transition going from D2 to Division I and, you know, give us some of the reasons why you've been so successful, kind of giving you a little time to brag here about yourself.
Oh, cool. I'll take that time anytime, Brandon. Hey, it was kind of funny. When I took the job at North Alabama, no school from the conference that they were in, which is the Gulf South Conference, had ever made the NCAA tournament. So I just saw a good opportunity there at a school that had won a couple of national football championships in Division II. Knew there'd be some money there as far as scholarship-wise goes. And you know, at the end of my career there, in my ninth season, we won a national championship, had another number of job opportunities come up, and I just really like things in suburban Nashville here. So honestly, and people ask me all the time, hey, what's the difference, especially my friends in Division II. I coached in Division II for 20 years, so they're always asking me, oh, what's the difference? You know, I'm kind of scared to make the jump. And the funny thing is, I think if you have a good system, which I think we do, and, you know, Brandon, you're running a similar system to what we're doing, you can be very successful. And I think a couple of the things that have really helped us carry over our success from Division II to Division I is we're getting athletes. And, you know, I know very well I can't go into California and get the best 6'3 volleyball players in the state. They're not going to come here. So rather than getting unskilled athletes or tall skilled players who aren't athletes, we went and got some very athletic kids who had okay skills, and we've been training them, and I think it's worked very well. I think we would run, well, you know, what the basketball equivalent would be of the run and gun. I mean, we're all about speed and getting to the ball offensively before the other team's block and defense can get set up, which means we have to have a very, you know, athletic setter, a very good setter. We have to have very speedy kids, and we kind of have a track team here pretty much. And I think that system has worked for us. And actually, I've seen a number of schools in the past couple of years starting to implement that too, realizing I don't need a 6'4 slow middle. You know, give me a 6-foot middle who can close the block from pin to pin, and, you know, you're going to do well. So in a nutshell, that was it. I think the other difference is for us, you know, in Division II, we had 8 scholarships that we broke up, you know, for 10 to 12 people. And in Division I, you know, we're a BCS school. We have 12 full rides. And so we're just getting more good players on our team rather than just having a good top 8 or 9. Now I think we're a lot deeper, and we, you know, we go 11, 12 kids who can play for us almost at any time, especially if you have an injury. So, but it's been fun, and, you know, congrats to you too, Brandon. You've done a great job turning the program at Lipscomb around, and it's kind of neat in Tennessee. We've had Tennessee State, Lipscomb, Belmont, ourselves, Tennessee, all make the conference, the NCAA tournament in the last couple of years here. So I think last year somebody told me that other than California, Tennessee had the most teams in the NCAA tournament for a state, which I found to be really interesting. So,
no, that is.
Anyway.
Barnett here.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us here on the show. I appreciate it. And in what you were saying, a lot of great information there. I did hear something that sounded like Brandon is copying your system over at Lipscomb.
No, not at all. Brandon, I think, is very innovative as well. And honestly, in our business, I think the top schools get kind of complacent and just, you know, they don't want to make changes. They want to do it the same way. Whereas myself and Brandon kind of look at other ways, like how can we crack that group? You know, what do we need to do a little bit different? And I think one of the things that great equalizers in any sport is speed. So,
well, I think
it's
interesting that you mentioned the fact that those other teams, and I was wondering with victories this season over Long Beach State and BYU, does your team, Middle Tennessee State, when somebody hears that, that's not one of the big names in the world of volleyball. Do you think some of these top teams, when they play you, they overlook you and the players don't really know that you've been to the Elite Eight, that you've been in the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row, that you guys are a quality volleyball program?
Well, when we defeated Hawaii in 07 to get to the Sweet 16, it was the first time in 32 years that Hawaii had not advanced to the Sweet 16. The coach from Hawaii came up to me and said that he didn't even look at our tape. He thought they would be playing Louisville. So I think at that time we kind of maybe surprised some people. But since then, I think Brandon's finding this too, we're having a hard time scheduling. We're having a hard time getting good teams to come play us at our place because I think they realize, you know, especially if you're an SEC school, especially an SEC school in this state that has a volleyball program, no names mentioned, they would find it difficult to go and lose to a Middle Tennessee. It would be like, you know, a USC losing to a Cal Davis or, you know, something like that. So I think both Brandon and I realize that we can't go head-to-head against the players that are, you know, playing in the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-10. So we have to do something different. And, again, I think for us, and I know for Brandon's team as well, it's about quickness. And so
it sounds to me like you guys have run it scared. Sounds like you have run scared, and they don't want to schedule you because they might end up with a loss and a drop in the ranking.
Well, and you know what, too? Brandon and I have both had a very good RPI these past couple of years, and I think other schools are looking past that, Middle Tennessee, what, and thinking, oh, this is a good team. If we beat them, we're going to move, you know, we'll get a better RPI, or if we lose to them, it's not going to hurt us that much because they are a good team. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, where is Middle Tennessee? And I said, it's right in the middle of the state. And so we still come up with that, but I think if we can get people to look at us and come out and watch us, like we had a number of recruits come out and watch us in Colorado to play Long Beach, a couple of the club coaches said, oh, my God, I had no idea. And I'm sure Brandon gets that all the time, which, you know, honestly, Lipscomb's a much smaller school than us. We have 28,000 students. We're bigger than University of Tennessee. And Brandon's even smaller than that in a Christian school to boot. So I think Brandon probably goes to that as much or maybe more than I do. But, you know, when you put your team on the court, you know, it doesn't matter what your name is if you're a good team and you're winning matches.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And anybody that's been around collegiate volleyball knows that MTSU is doing an awesome job. And, you know, Matt talks about speed. We run a fast offense, but it's nowhere close to what they're doing. And, you know, even when we've played them in the past couple of years, we've struggled with it. I really encourage anybody that gets a chance to see this team play, you're going to see a really fun style of volleyball, and I promise you'll walk away pretty impressed and you know, definitely bring new light to MTSU and what's going on in college volleyball.
Well, thank you, Brandon, very much. And I Brandon's team is very fun to watch for me, too, because he's, you know, again, he's in a much smaller environment, and, you know, a much smaller school and more select as far as, you know, religious stuff goes. And I was just been very impressed with what his team has been able to accomplish as well. So, and by the way, Brandon, I'll pay you off later.
I was going to say, he should be my agent.
Man,
yeah,
this whole,
and vice versa, for sure.
This whole thing is just pumping Tennessee volleyball. That's all this.
There you go.
Hey, Matt, we hear that you you raise birds, or you have a lot of birds. Tell us about this.
And you know what? I'm purposely in my car right now because when I'm in the house, I've got a couple of parrots. And not that they can get rude, but they can be a little offensive. And I boarded one of my birds at the vet, African gray parrot. And when I went to pick her up, the people at the vet were just laughing. Well, what happened? Well, there was another bird here, and the owner came and picked it up and went home and called us and said, "Who taught my bird how to fart?" My bird does that. She'll make the fart sound and say, "Stop farting," or "Who farted?" So this other bird picked it up, and the owner didn't like it very much. So now I can't board the bird anymore. The vet asked me, you know, we really don't need our other birds, you know, learning that kind of stuff. So I'm in the car because if I go in the house, the two parrots I have will just start going, and I'm sure I don't even know if I ever told Brandon I had birds, but probably when we've talked on the phone before, you know, like, what's that in the background? It's like, oh, never mind. So,
how much?
Yeah, I have my hands full with those two for sure.
How much volleyball do these birds know? Do they know the difference between a 5-1 and a 6-2?
No, they do not. And actually, you bring that up. We had a very interesting experience last week in Denver. University of Denver is running a 4-2, which I have never seen in college. And
what?
we're running a 5-2 offense. We have a setter in the back row, who's an outstanding defender and a very heads-up volleyball player, and then I bring in another kid in the front row who's a physical blocker and who can slam it down, like, straight down, and is just a great athlete. So it was the 4-2 playing the 5-2. It was just a really interesting kind of thing. So I would have to school the bird on all the different offenses for sure, especially this year with something that I really haven't ever seen before. So it was just a little bit different. And I'm sure Long Beach is watching both of us thinking, what the heck? But it was a fun weekend.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you coming on today and continued success for you guys, and look forward to, you know, again watching you guys hopefully at the end of the year in the NCAA tournament.
Same to you, Brandon. Thanks very much, guys. You guys have a good day.
All right. Head coach Matt Peck of the Middle Tennessee State University Blue Raiders joining us here on the Net Live. Good stuff.
He went to the birds.
You gotta
classic.
Go, you got to know about the bird. Who farted? That's great. You send your bird into the vet. He comes back saying words he shouldn't. It sounds like send your child in for boarding for the week. Send him
classic.
To
classic.
Send him off to grandpa's. He comes back saying words he shouldn't. Go, grandpa, what is this all about? What have you done to my child?
I love the people that just tuned in. They're probably wondering what is going on with the show. Same thing.
Now, you have to listen from the beginning. It's all one long narrative, and you have to have that back information. All right, Brandon, give us what you're up to this week. What do you have upcoming?
You know, we've got the start of conference play. We've got Mercer and Kennesaw State visiting Allen Arena, home of the Lady Bisons. Pretty pumped about that. Good rivalry with Mercer. And then, The Claude is coming to town. Mom and Dad. The Claude and Dee Dee.
Your father named The Claude. Kind of like
The Claude. Just like the Mexico, yeah.
That's excellent.
It should be a good week.
All right. Well, I'm hoping it cools off here in Southern California just a little bit. I've got a full weekend coming up, all full of soccer games and football games. No volleyball for me. Still recovering from the knee injury. But if you want to watch some volleyball, I'm going to tune into this. If you want to watch the U.S. men's team, they're playing in World Championships, last match of the first round against Argentina, coming up live here in about 20 minutes, sounds like, on From Sport, FROM, and the word sport.com. Check that out. You can watch them live streaming on the Internet. Allegedly, I hope it happens, kind of like our show, allegedly it's on Mondays. And then Versus Network will feature the Corona Wide Open, U.S. Open Championships, which happened this past weekend in Manhattan Beach. Those will be on the 29th of September from 3:30 to 5:30 Eastern. Thanks to those on the chat board that put all that information up there. Thank you, BJ, and whoever put up information for the U.S. Open. That's good stuff. So I'm glad you've been here, Brandon. I'm glad you were here. Another good performance. You're getting better at this. In about 6 weeks, you'd be really good.
Hey, man. Glad to have the opportunity. Thanks once again for letting me be your friend.
I like that you're here and you just promo Lipscomb all the time and you bring on just talk about how awesome your program is, even if you are copying their system.
Unintentional, I promise.
Well, thanks very much for tuning in. It's been another fun episode of the Net Live. We'll look forward to seeing you next Monday. I think Geeter's back next Monday, so Brandon, you can just listen. You don't have to go to work.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
The Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. Be good people all week. Hang in there if you're in the Inland Valley of California, 115. That's hot. See you again.